Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
All right, good morning, good afternoon, and welcome back to another episode of Red Pill News. As always, my name is Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector, and joining me once again for our monthly conversations about the economy, crypto, precious metals, whatever it might be, it's money, and you need it to survive. Bob Kudla from Trade Genius Academy. Bob, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, Zach. How you doing?
You know, I can't complain. Florida is a paradise, a wonderland still. Things are difficult for everybody all over. But, you know, the only thing you can hope is that you muddle through. And at the end of the day, you turn out just a little bit better than you were before you woke up, I guess. That's about it.
Yeah. So you guys dodged a hurricane a couple weeks ago. And yeah, we just had one roll through again, Arizona. And we got Southern California. We just got dumped.
Really?
So quick storm, thunder, lightning. I think my house, we had close to an inch of rain. So, yeah, the weather patterns are definitely changing.
So I mean, that's good for the Southwest, though. I mean, you guys have been in a massive drought. I watched this guy on YouTube who has been doing like weekly check-ins with the reservoir at Lake Mead. And it's pretty incredible how quickly the water level goes down when there's nothing left to refill it. And I can only imagine, I mean, it's got to be very difficult on all the farmers. And then, of course, I mean, I hear that they're having people ration water and stuff. Are you guys in a situation like that? Do you have to watch like how long your showers are or how much water you let come out of the tap?
Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, we're not under any kind of rationing here. And I live in Orange County, so it all depends where your water allocation comes from. And like San Diego is pretty much off the grid now because they have a big desal plant. Orange County is building a big one in Huntington Beach. And but our allocations are fine. Upstream, where like in Arizona and things of that nature, they had their allocations got cut because, you know, every state has an allocation. And so, but Arizona this year has been getting, I think they've already probably have, I think, a year's worth of rain already, and the rainy season has started because the monsoon season has been so, so powerful. And this storm came out of the blue. I mean, it plowed right into, it plowed right in Arizona, and we just caught the remnant on our side. Where I live, it doesn't really matter how much it rains because our water really doesn't come from here. It's just that it looks nice and we do get some recharge. But I think at some point desal plants are going to become more and more prevalent along the coast. I mean, San Diego, literally 90% of the water comes from a desal plant. And well, I'm only actually 10% more expensive.
I'm surprised that more places don't have them. I mean, especially with the narrative, the popular narrative being that the ocean levels are rising. I mean, what better way to stop ocean levels from rising than to take some of that water and pump it right out and make it for people to drink?
You know what, Zach? That's exactly what they're using to try to keep the plant from being built. They said, oh, the water plant's going to be underwater. I'm like, you know, you just scratch your head. These people are never happy.
No.
You know?
No.
When they push you into caves, they're going to say, well, caves aren't safe.
That's right. People can't see. It's never going to work. Oh, good
yeah.
God.
Well, you know what it is. The left just love drama. They can't control you unless they create drama. So
that's right. Solutions negate the drama because then you won't have anything to worry about. So, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
All right. Well, before we get into the topics of the day, please make sure you introduce yourself and Trade Genius to the audience.
Yeah, so Trade Genius, what we do is we've created a series of what we think fairly effective algorithms to trade the stock market and the crypto market. And so how it works is that, you know, we start at looking at probabilities and seasonality to make sure that we kind of know what season we're in. And then from there, you know, we have an algorithm that looks at Fed liquidity. So is the Fed injecting or taking money out of the markets? You know, and when we get beyond that, then we look at the derivative markets, which are options. Are they out of balance one way or the other? And we have an algo for that. And then within that, we then look at what's called an algorithm that looks at price levels and an algorithm that looks at momentum. And from there, we're able to draw out trade ideas. And so we have one that's applied to the stock market, and we have one that's applied to the crypto market. And so what we do, and I know you were going to ask me because the market's been so crazy, we've had a very, very good month last month and continuing on this month, because we knew going into September is typically a bearish month, but it also energy holds up that month. And so, you know, we've been shifting our assets all year into energy names, and we've been getting out of the what we call the financialized stocks, the high price to sale stocks, just the Momo companies. And those are the ones that got their heads handed to them. So we've done fairly well. And, you know, our win rate is about 65%. Our annualized, if you just take the trades that we take and we average hold period about 3 days, we're over 100% gain.
Wow.
But that number is kind of misleading because you'd have to be 100% invested. Mm-hmm. Needless to say is that we're doing much better than if you were just passively trading the stock market. And so we do that for that. And then for crypto, you know, we have the same thing for crypto. We have a dog just joined me here and right back out the door again. You have to say hi, puppy. So anyway,
good morning.
This is life in 2022.
Believe me, so, I'm going through it too.
Yeah. So in crypto, we're starting to come into the halving cycle, but we've had the volatility in Bitcoin's been helpful because we've been able to trade in and out of that. And we've been very, 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 very pleased that Bitcoin's kind of decoupling now from the market, I think, in anticipation for that next halving cycle that's going to probably culminate in 2025. So how we do it for people that are interested in is that we provide trade signals so that people can see the trades that we take, proves our methodology. But what we also do is we give you the tools to trade. We teach you how to trade, and then we also have chat rooms where you can communicate with us. So it's a really good system. And what we charge for the service, Zach, is really nothing what you get out of it. And we put together bundles like we always do for your listeners, 65% off any of our bundles until Saturday. And then if you take anything that's not bundled in the store, it's either 40 or 50%. You just have to check with to look below. I never check, and it's either Columbus or it's or a Halloween. One of the things that we'll put out there. But anyway, Zach has it for you. You can just click on that. But I think you'll like it. We also trade the option markets and the futures markets. And one thing too, and what's really interesting, it'll surprise people's interest. A lot of people with smaller accounts, you know, we help people learn how to trade credit spreads too. So because we have a good feel for direction of the market on a macro basis, credit spreads are great. If you don't have to be right for a credit spread, you just have to not be wrong. And so we help people, you know, some people say, if you make $100 a day in the stock market, you're making over $20,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, a lot of people try to swing for the fences in trading. I do a credit spread nearly every day. It has a plus 80% win rate on these credit spreads. So, you know, you're netting out, I look for make 150 a day, but you net out about 100 because there are a couple losers in there.
Sure.
And it's just a nice way for you to build cash flow. So anyway, thanks for letting me do the plug. So that's what we're doing, and we're doing great. And you know, I think we have a pretty good handle on where the market's going to go here in October too.
So, I mean, that's obviously great news for you at Trade Genius. I mean, the reason I brought this up earlier in the pre-show, apparently the average retirement account for adult Americans is down 25% for the year. So I don't know how much money that means overall in terms of market value, but I know that there has been billions of dollars essentially just wiped off the books. People's wealth is gone. So the idea that you might be able to continue to make money if you're doing it yourself. One question I have for you, Bob, is why is the market performing so poorly, you think, if it's all based on like computers and algorithmic trades? It seems like all the big trading houses, they'd set everything up automatically and these computers are doing stuff for them. And I, you know, because there have been stories over the years where the computer crashed the market and, you know, this is why everything fell apart on a given day. But certain houses do really, really well. Obviously, BlackRock, they got money in a lot of different things, but they're starting to feel the burn themselves now. Why do you think that the market is not more successful in certain areas, if not for these computer programs?
Yeah, so all computers do is just accelerate things. And the reason why those crashes happen, because all the algorithms, you know, math is math, right? There's only so many different ways in which you can write a program, but everybody leans too far from one side to the other and it causes an imbalance. And nobody wants to, if everybody thinks the market's going to go down, nobody wants to step in front of the train. So it causes these air gaps in the market. And so you get those like flash crashes or you get these like quick down up kind of moves but they tend to correct fairly quickly. The reason why the market's going down is quite simple. So, you know, you start with Fed liquidity, right? If the Fed is not pushing money, there's a one-for-one correlation, Zach, to global central bank balance sheets and the global stock market, okay? And they've been extracting cash out of the banking system here for the last year. What's happening to us here, guys, is a controlled crash, okay? This is nothing's organic about this at all. You know, so they injected money in, and they're extracting money back out. It's as simple as that. It's like the tide. And you can't fight that. And then in addition to taking liquidity out, they were going ahead and they raised interest rates. So that raises the cost of capital. So when you raise the cost of capital, what people, investors look at all the time and computers look at all the time is there's a thing called the risk-free rate. Nothing's risk-free, but they call it the risk-free rate. It's essentially the treasury yield 10-year, right? So you take that, and right now it's trading around 3% or 4%, whatever it is. I haven't looked. And they say, okay, in the stock market, you got to be able to have a yield higher than that and plus a percentage, okay, because you're taking risk in the stock market. And so if you're not beating that yield, you're better off just being in the 10-year. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And as yields have been going up all year on the 10-year, it's been it's causing grief for the stock market because people have to, risk managers are telling their investment councils that you have to extract money out of the stock market because you've taken on too much risk per the risk-free rate. So, and that's the same thing that's happening in real estate too. You know, real estate needs to, the yield on a real estate investment needs to exceed the yield on the Fed funds rate by 2.75%. So the real estate market essentially is 40% overvalued right now across the whole country on average. That doesn't mean it's going to fall by 40%. It just means that it's going to, you're probably stuck with your real estate for the next 10 years until inflation starts to grip it again. So that's what's causing the problems in the market. Now, the bond market is a mess, and that's what's really blowing people up because the Fed is just not stopping raising interest rates, which is causing the dollar to go higher. And when the dollar goes higher, countries around the world that have treasuries in their balance sheets have to sell them to keep their currencies from imploding. And so, you know, everybody says, well, everybody wants a weaker dollar, you know, a weaker currency against the dollar. It only works for so long. If you have energy names going higher, okay, it causes a problem in these guys' current account balances because their input costs, their input costs are going up so high that they can't sell their product for profit. And so that's why the bond market's been going down because countries like China and Japan and England and Europe, they're all selling their treasury bonds because they have to. And so you're going to get to a point where the only people that are going to own U.S. treasuries is going to be the United States government.
What's going to happen at that point?
Well, that's called a monetization. And that's when the dollar eventually will start going down, because that pressure comes off the market in terms of trying to push the dollar up. And as you know, and one thing I wanted to talk to you about was the dollar is going straight up. It's literally killing people. You know, and if I can do a quick plug for my podcast, you know, we do a daily podcast too. It's free. You check, just go to Trade Genius on YouTube. But we're going to talk about that this week. Is literally there's boats, ships in the harbors that can't offload because they can't pay for it because the dollar is too high. They're not enough currency. I'm so sorry, Zach. I don't know why the dog's barking. So
when you say ships that can't offload, are you talking about cargo ships? Like they're bringing stuff over from China or something?
Like grain.
Okay.
Yeah, so grain and oil, they can't offload it. And it's literally killing people. There's a country called Ghana out there now. They have food shortages. And the boats are sitting off in the harbor full of grain. But they're not going to allow them to offload until they get paid.
So these would be the American companies that are bringing it over, or are these other countries that are accepting payment in American currency?
So you know, the dollar sovereign, you know, people, I always laugh when people say the dollar is going to crash. The dollar is the one-eyed king in the land of the blind, and you know, and it's showing itself right now. There's only been two currencies that have been pacing with the dollar. One is the Russian ruble, for obvious reasons, because they're exporting so much. And the Mexican peso has been strong up until late. And so everybody else is crashing. The China yuan.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Bonds crashing, the Japanese yen is crashing. The United Kingdom, they're crashing. The euro's crashing, and the dollar stands supreme. And what happens is, it becomes a feedback loop. You know, if you're in a country that your currency is crashing, you're gonna try to move to the strongest currency you can. Mm-hmm. And that's the other reason why Bitcoin's been holding up too, because Bitcoin's actually even more liquid than getting your hands on dollars, because the exchange rate is the commission's not as high. So people will dive into Bitcoin like a turkey, mm-hmm. you know, and you have gold has got a nice bid today. We're talking on Monday. Gold's getting a bid again. And so you're going to start seeing that cream rise to the top. And eventually the dollar can't go up any higher. So you have an issue here. When the dollar starts to slow down, you're going to see Bitcoin and gold start going higher. So it's just a fascinating, and people don't understand that, you know, they don't realize there's a dollar shortage out there. There's so many dollars. People took out dollar loans. Okay. Well, if your currency is crashing against the dollar, it's like having an adjustable rate mortgage. And in Europe, you have adjustable rate mortgages in dollars. Can you imagine?
Oh, wow.
You know, you had a $1,000 mortgage and you wake up one day and you have a $3,500 mortgage in local currency.
Yeah. I can see how that would be a problem.
Alone. Yeah. And it's happened before. I don't know why people they do it originally because they think it's a cheaper deal, mm-hmm. and they don't realize that they're basically hanging a millstone around their neck.
Wow. So, I mean, that seems like it's a ripe opportunity for additional financial crises to happen in other countries where the dollar, I guess, would be outperforming any of the other local currencies. So, I mean, what happens in those points? I mean, Michael Burry is somebody who's been, not so outspoken lately, but he's put his opinion out there on a number of occasions. And he has essentially predicted that the whole bottom's going to fall out in the same way that it did back in 2008 when he predicted it the first time and everybody said he was crazy. And people kind of have the same idea about him today. They really aren't paying attention to the warnings that he's been given. What do you think about Michael Burry and what he predicts is going to happen in the markets?
Yeah, you know, his Twitter handle's Cassandra. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
He's brilliant. He tends to be a bit early because he can afford to be, and mm-hmm. he can take some heat. But I have a slightly different view of what's gonna happen. I'm in the camp that we're analoging the 1940s, and because this crisis is being created, it's not organic. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so if it's created, they can unwind some of this stuff too. So, you know, my understanding is looking at the analogs is that you have a supply constrained environment right now. Look, China keeps locking down their country. Okay. It's definitely for economic political reasons. It's nothing to do with health. Okay. It's their way of trying to control inflation by not letting people go out and spend. Mm-hmm. I mean, just amazing. And so you have China curtailing supply. You got the United States curtailing dollars. You got sanctions curtailing consumption in Europe, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got collapsing currencies curtailing demand in Asia. And so it's a supply-driven environment here that they're basically capping it. And that was very similar to the 1940s. And so you have an issue now where energy is probably going to be the way to go, and they're going to be dialing back and forth on the interest rates. The good news is it's going to end the Fed here around the world. The central banks have been running amok here for the last 100 years, and they're actually, I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but they're going to come underneath the thumb of the sovereign nations again. So they're going to be told what to do. And so it's going to be replaced by what's called financial repression, not a collapse. And so you have an environment where they're literally going to tell them, this is going to be your interest rate. It's called yield curve control. And this is how much you're going to lend this year. And they're basically going to try to glide people out on this. It doesn't mean like happy days are here again. Mm-hmm. It's that that's how they're going to try to control it from a crash. And the other thing about with Michael Burry is the demographics, tend to favor employment now for the next 10 years, because there's so many people next 10 years that are going to be retiring. There's not enough skilled labor. And when you have these currency imbalances, you're going to see America onshore a lot. So you're going to have higher nominal inflation, higher wages, like kind of like the 70s in a way, mm-hmm. but you're going to have a supply constrained like the 40s. And so what they're going to do is they're going to try to basically, it's called the boil the frog monetization. It's going to be painful enough to kind of know something's not right, but it's not going to be so painful that it's going to cause crashes. And so that's kind of, it's kind of like a soft, what do you call it in the 40s where you had ration cards? It's kind of like soft rationing.
Okay.
Is what they're going to do. So, you know, that's where it is. And they're going to try to unwind some of these derivatives and stuff like that. But so that's where I am right now. Obviously, I could be wrong and he could be right, but that's kind of seeing where it's setting up right now. And I'm spending most of my energy in energy because I think, you know, when these things happen, you have to own things that people absolutely need, Zach.
Sure.
You know, you think about things that people will need, right? So, you know, you have like the sin tax, you know, the sin world will be fine, right? The alcohol, tobacco, firearms, you know, food, energy. And then I put automation in there too, because you have, there's not enough workers, and safety is an issue now too. And so I give an example that you're seeing, like Taco Bell, like everybody's fleeing the cities, but Taco Bell's taking a different approach. They're basically they're creating a two-story restaurant. Hmm. You can't go in the restaurant. The restaurant's on top, and you drive underneath it. Oh. And you prepay your food, and they drop the food to you. So they're keeping their employees safe. Their stores are smaller. And, you know, because it's two stories, the footprint's smaller, and you prepay. So they
nobody can run off with the food.
You can't run off with the food. So, you know, every action has a reaction. So it's going to become very impersonal, but there's going to be many ways to make money. We own a stock called SYM in what we've been sharing with people. Symbotic, it's a majority owned by, it's publicly traded by Walmart, and they're automating all their warehouses. I mean, you know how much money they're going to make?
Sure.
You know, they're only doing three right now. Is because Walmart can't get enough workers. They're not interested in dealing with unionization. So automate everything. And that's what you're going to see across the board. California passed like the Restaurant Workers Bill of Rights kind of thing, which means it's going to cost more to be in a restaurant. You got McDonald's is just going to automate. Burger King's going to automate. You know, Taco Bell's already automating. So they're just going to rip people out of the system. I mean, you know, wow. It doesn't take a robot really hard work to learn how to flip a burger. You know what I'm saying? And so, and then look at Starbucks. They're getting rid of cash. They're getting rid of cash registers. They're getting rid of employees on the line. They're getting hammered with unionization. I was in Hawaii. I watched a whole automation of their cappuccino and latte machines. They don't do anything. They just push a button. They put a cup underneath it, you know, and, wow. You know, basically it's, you know, you're paying $5 for going to Keurig.
I mean, and once that robot's paid off, I mean, it's all profit. I mean, coffee is super cheap anyways.
Look, even if you have a 15% rate of return, if it generates cash within 6 years, it's a great deal.
Yeah.
And then you also get to depreciate it. You can't depreciate a human.
No.
So, well, they do depreciate you, but not from a financial sense, but yeah, so I mean, there's a robot is much more of an attractive option than a person from a pure, you know, amoral sense, right? So sure. You're going to see that. And, you know, that's why I scratch my head while we're just dumping millions of people that have no skills in the country, because what are they going to do? You know, Nancy Pelosi said, oh, they can go pick fruit. Well, guess what? Guess what else they're automating right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that.
Look, every problem is an opportunity. So that's where it's going to be. There's not enough energy being produced at all, you know, and so you can't have a functioning society with high energy costs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think Europe is finding out that you can't live on renewables alone. You have to have a diverse base. Renewables are the most expensive. They tell you it's the cheapest, but it's not. It's the most expensive.
Right.
You know, way in which to function. Now, for your home, solar is a great deal, right? Because you don't have to you're getting a free backup from the utility.
Correct.
The utility has to pay for their backup.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had to have solar and you had to have your own backup, well, solar is twice as expensive than it was before. So if you put a battery backup system in, your system is going to cost you twice as much money.
Right.
So that's what renewables dealing with around the whole world. So they're going to have to drill for more fossil fuels, natural gas. You're going to have a nuclear renaissance. You'll see at some point hydrogen cars are going to come into play because I think battery technology is not going to be sufficient. Look, you and I are not going to be happy every time we take you want to take a run up to Atlanta for some reason. Well, you don't want to charge three times, right? We're a hydrogen. You can put a hydrogen tube right in there. You can go up and back and just pop a new one in and a new one out. They until they solve the battery problem with cars, electric cars is you're not getting rid of the internal combustion anytime soon, no matter how hard Gavin Newsom wants to force that. It's not going to happen.
No, and it's not feasible right now. And the really frustrating thing is that there are like newer experimental types of batteries that are out there. The United States actually dumped billions of dollars into the research of one of these guys. It was like a liquid battery almost, and it had a couple of different types of electrolytes in it. We designed it here. We spent billions of dollars in research and development, and then they just gave it to China. And China's just sitting on it because they're the leading producer of lithium ion batteries. They have no financial interest in putting out a newer, better battery that we are going to be able to use if people want to make better electric cars or better stores of energy. It's pretty frustrating.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think people know this, but I have some experience in this space because I owned a renewable energy company for 14 years. So, you know, the utility grade systems are going to go from lithium actually to sodium. Mm-hmm. So seawater, essentially, yep. You know, it has lower efficiency, but it's cheap. And so, you know, if you have a big utility, what do you care if you have a massive solar energy? I mean, sodium ion battery backup system is cheap, mm-hmm. You know, and then, you know, the liquid metal thing is fascinating, but also anything like that's too expensive. So you're going to see graphene actually is going to probably at some point replace lithium in the car batteries because, you know, first of all, carbon doesn't burn like lithium burns.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, the graphene's cheap. So that'll probably be the area in which they're going to go. But, you know, they're already trying to dope these lithium batteries to keep them from being so, so flammable. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, discount it. Honda is very much in the vogue that they don't think the all electric car is going to make it. Mm-hmm. So they are not going all electric in their Toyota's not going all electric in their lineup.
Okay, I saw that both of them have hydrogen cars and there are hydrogen filling stations out there in California.
Very fast too.
Yeah.
So you know in the. And so you're going to see there's going to be competition there for the battery. You know, look, it's great. You know, you have an electric bike, great. If you have a little runabout for the neighborhood, great. But you can't go anywhere with a Tesla.
No.
Okay. You know, and I don't know what happened to the Elon Musk, that automatic thing where he did. You drive in and you replace the battery and you drive off. I don't think they're doing that anymore because, you know, you drive in there with a 5-year-old battery and you pick up a brand new one, you may not come back, you know, because batteries are so expensive. I think that was just a great idea, but I think termed to be impractical. So, yeah. So, I mean, to me, this is kind of fun stuff because innovation gets driven by higher costs. So I think we're going to see some good thing. We just got to get the politicians to be out of constantly meddling in this environment and let the engineers figure this out. You know, the engineers figured out solar to make installations cheaper, you know, so there's always ways in which you can do things better. I think in Sweden, I could be wrong on this, but they took a highway. Instead of electrifying the cars, they electrified the road.
Yeah, so it's like RC cars almost.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's so funny. It's like what comes around goes around, and you just drop a an induction, you know, basically it's an induction. Mm-hmm. And you're just picking up the energy as you go. So there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be experimented with. So I think it's great, but it's a long way around the Michael Burry saying.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to be really interesting. I don't think we're going to necessarily crash because I think we're causing, when I say we, the policymakers and the central banks are causing this
right
to happen because we're not really fighting inflation. We're really fighting Russia.
Yeah, okay? It's true.
And I think as soon as that abates, then all this changes again. Because a lot of politicians who thought they can outrun this thing are losing their jobs. And hopefully next time you and I talk, we're going to be red with glee, right? Absolutely. Instead of blue.
Yeah, it'll be right after the midterms. So obviously, I think both of us are hoping, waiting, praying for a big red wave, new blood coming into Washington, D.C., and hopefully some leaders who are willing to adequately take a real look at some of these issues we've been talking about and change things for the better here in America. I think the Biden regime, the only goal they have is to destroy America. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. They want to destroy the status quo and replace it with something that is going to be much, much worse. And it will take decades and decades and decades for the nation to recover. So I'm hoping in the future, in November, we'll have even better subject matter to discuss. So thanks again, Bob, for being here. I really, really appreciate it. And I appreciate your perspective on these issues.
Hey, Zach, thanks for having me. Have a good one. And if we're wrong, Bob and Zach will be back in 2023 after 60 days of mourning.
That's right. That's right. All right, everyone. At home, good luck and God bless. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.